Thank you very much, Jane. And can I add my welcome to that of Alex's? My name is Al, and I'm one of the associate ministers here at St. Andrew's. And can I wish you a warm, slightly early, happy Christmas? Oh, I don't know how much you bother with Christmas, but in our family, we're certainly celebrating. The wreath is on the door, the Christmas tree is up, the children have their little Advent calendars. It's all systems go on the Christmas front. Now, one of the nice things about Christmas, of course, is gifts. It's nice to get a gift that you'd like to receive. And it's nice, of course, to give a gift that another person really appreciates. But it can be a little bit fraught finding that right gift. And I'm sure we've all seen gift-giving go just a little bit wrong. So to help us avoid the wrong kinds of gifts, Time Out Hong Kong has knocked together a little list of gifts best avoided. And here are some of them. Firstly, statement mugs, because we've all got enough mugs in our life already. Or how about photo frames? Because, well, there's always that possible mismatch between the taste of the person giving the frame and the taste of the person receiving the frame, and there's the expectation that goes on display. Or what about socks? Another thing they mentioned. I guess with socks, you've got two options. Either you go for the novelty sock, or you go for the slightly more restrained business sock. Neither of them are that exciting, are they? Now, I'm sorry if you've already gone out and bought these kinds of gifts. I'm sure they're fine. Just give those gifts anyway. But gift giving is a little bit fraught. What do you go for? Do you go for the gift that the person really wants, that exciting gift, but then you need to know what they really want? Do you go for the more boring functional gift, but then it is a little bit more boring and functional? Sometimes we don't know. We just try our best. It doesn't really tick either of those two boxes. We just hope that the people will give us marks for effort, that they'll see that the thought was there. Well, we're thinking about that first gift, that first Christmas gift that was given about 2,000 years ago, when the God of the universe gave that gift of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we might ask ourselves, if God could give anything in this universe, anything that we could conceive of, then why did he give a tiny little baby? Is this a gift that we should want? Is this a gift that we need? Or is this a kind of a gift that no one really understands, but was well intended? Well, we're going to be thinking about that from just one of the verses that we looked at, John 3, verse 16, perhaps the best known verse in all of the world. Well, what we see is that this gift was given, firstly, in a way that was motivated by love. Have a look at how that verse starts. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. You see, the Bible tells us that God is love. It's the fundamental aspect of his character. You see, before this universe came into existence, before there were people or planets or angels or anything, God existed in eternity as a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so before anything happened, God was able to love in a perfect relationship. That's why the Bible says that God is love. It's the foundational aspect of his character. And God longs to show love to the people of this world. And one of the ways that he does that is by giving. Now, we know that people give when they love. It's one of the love languages. And over history, there are many, many examples of extravagant gifts which have been given by people who love each other. But take, for instance, the story of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. I don't know if you know that story. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, together with the pyramids at Giza. And according to legend, 2,500 years ago, Princess Amitas married Nebuchadnezzar II, and they lived in Babylon. But she was from the distant land of Media, and she longed for the forests and for the mountains of her homeland. She was terribly homesick. And so he built her this extravagant palace set on levels, full of plants and trees from her homeland. A lavish gift which showed beyond a shadow of a doubt the depth of his affection for her. Well, God is a God who loves to give. And he loves this world. He says sometimes people have this idea that God is a distant God, an angry God. That's simply not true. God is a God who draws near and who loves to give. All of the everyday things that we have come from God. The sun, the rain, the food we eat, the air we breathe, all of those ordinary things are actually precious gifts. But when God wanted to give a truly lavish, extravagant gift, what was the thing that he gave? He didn't give us a comet or a star or even a whole new galaxy. No, he gave us something infinitely more precious than that. He gave us himself. So the infinite, eternal God took on human flesh. The all-powerful God took on human frailty. The invisible God became visible and touchable that we might know him. God is a God who loves, and he wants us to be in a loving relationship with him. We see that this gift was motivated by love. It was motivated by love, and it is marked by sacrifice. Have a look at how this verse goes on. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. You see, God loves this world, and Jesus came that we might know God and love God. But he also came that we might not perish, which means to come under God's judgment. The Bible tells us that this world and humanity has rejected the loving God and his loving way, his loving pattern, and instead gone our own way. And that's the reason why this world is so full of so much heartache and pain and violence and anger. And we see those things in ourselves as well. And because God is a loving God and a just God, he must hold this world to account. Just as we expect any human court to punish wrongdoing, well, so too, the God of all this universe must hold humanity to account and must punish wrong. And all of us are guilty at some level of rejecting God in our heart and going our own selfish way. We're guilty, and we deserve to perish, to come under God's judgment. But the good news of Christmas is that God has a plan to save, and that he sent his Son, that little baby born in a manger but destined for the cross. It was always God's intention that Jesus would go to the cross and die. And when he died at the cross, he paid the penalties for the sins of the world so that whoever trusts in him, whoever believes, should not perish at all. It was a wonderful gift, motivated by love, but given at great cost, a sacrificial gift. Well, from time to time these days, we hear about celebrities giving gifts to each other, such as Beyonce, who received a gift of a $50 million engagement ring from Jay-Z. He liked it, so he put a ring on it. Good thing he got an expensive ring after that song. Or how about a $650 million yacht given by Indian businessman Anil Ambani to his wife Tina? Imagine getting that for Christmas. That would be quite something. But even though these gifts are so very generous, sometimes they're actually relatively affordable for the people who give them because they are so wealthy. And surprisingly, the gifts that are truly sacrificial, on the other hand, sometimes those seem quite ordinary and maybe are underappreciated at the time. So take, for instance, the child whose parents work long hours to send them to school or to pay for extra tuition. At the time, they may not like the gift at all. They might hate the idea of going to school or doing extra tuition, and they may have no idea of the sacrifices that their parents are making. And it's only much later, maybe years later, that they start to see the value of that gift, and they see how that's transformed their life, and they begin to realize the sacrifice their parents have made over the years, and they become truly grateful. Well, so too, it's possible for us to miss over the significance of the gift that God gave, that he stepped into human flesh and became a person, that he paid that terrible, terrible price at the cross. It's possible for us to gloss over that, or maybe even to say, I'm not interested, I don't want that thing. But Christmas is a time for us to pause and reflect on the significance of that gift, motivated by love, marked by sacrifice, and meant for eternity. Look at how the verse finishes. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came that we might know God. Jesus came that we might escape God's judgment. But Jesus also came to give us eternal life. That means life in all of its fullness, all of its richness, life to the max. And that's possible because Jesus died on the cross, but he also rose again. Because Jesus is God who has the keys of life and death. And he's able to give us life to the max and eternal life. And that is something that we need so desperately in a world which is absolutely broken and falling apart. Well, one of the things that happens here at Christmas in Hong Kong is that annual competition between all of the shopping malls. Have you noticed that competition to see who can put on the best Christmas display? Now, I don't know if you bother with this thing. We go along to some of them and we take the obligatory photos, and all of them are sort of picture perfect. Life seems to be perfect. And amidst all of the decorations and the celebrations which go on, it's possible for Christmas to become slightly escapist. We forget all about the problems in this broken world. But it doesn't take much when we flick on the news for all of that to come crashing back, when we see the spread of COVID, when we see tens of thousands of people dying, when we see the wars and the political tensions, the scandals, corruption. This world is broken. People are broken. Yes, there's advance with technology, there's better education, there's better healthcare, there's better food, but there are also new problems that come along as well, like nuclear war or climate change. And that's because the big foundational problem is not out there, it's in here. Our hearts, which are fractured and which have turned away from God. And the gift of Christmas is that God is holding out forgiveness for us. And that gift of eternal life, which we so desperately need, life to the full in the Lord Jesus Christ. Born in a stable, died on a cross, coming back again to rule. So as we celebrate Christmas this year, as we perhaps give gifts or go to parties, can I encourage us to pause and reflect on that first Christmas gift? That was motivated by love, marked by sacrifice, meant for eternity, and which is freely available for everyone who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, and happy Christmas.